Welcome to Hard On Podcast. This podcast is not about length, but how you use it. How the hell is everybody doing? I am Sean Barnes. Here, of course, is Jay Leonard. How you holding up, man?
So hot.
So hot. Dude, as many of you know, the country, at least the Northeast and most of the Midwest also, if I believe, I think they're wrapping up their portion of the heat wave.
Around here we call it the Beast Coast.
The Beast Coast, yes.
Yeah, bro.
Beast from the East. It's hot, man.
Hot as balls.
Hot and humid.
This is when the balls get long. This is long ball weather.
Long ball.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
No.
I would take that blistering cold shit. You know what's funny? Nobody cares about the temperature, right? I get it. Listeners right now are like, right. Fucking, this is great content. But it's funny for me because I don't often listen to our podcast. I don't often listen back to it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll go through and like just check on files
check in a little bit. Yeah.
And it's funny because it'll be like a day like this and I'll just happen to stumble across us bitching about an impending snowstorm.
Right.
You know.
And I prefer this over snowstorm.
Oh, no. I want crippling. You know this.
I know this.
I want crippling snowstorms.
Yeah. But like... It's hot, man. When there was it 3 days over 90 has to be,
yeah,
for a heat wave.
It's gonna be with the I don't understand how any of this shit works. The humidity plus the temperature tomorrow, it's gonna be like 106.
Yeah, the heat index is what they call it. 106 tomorrow. Yep. Not actually what the temperature is gonna be. The temperature is gonna be like 95, 96 or something like that.
Yeah,
but we're gonna have like humidity in the 70s.
You know what's some real irresponsible shit? My girlfriend is some real irresponsible shit.
Why is that?
Here's the shit, man.
Uh-huh.
When I go home tonight from this podcast,
yeah,
she's going to be wearing a hoodie.
Because it's going to be 0 degrees in your house?
It is 64 degrees. It's 64 degrees right now downstairs.
In your house?
Downstairs it is, yeah.
That's cold.
You can't.
I mean, it's not cold, but you know what I'm
saying. It's fucking cold. It's cold when you come in from, you know, if I come down the stairs, it's a little warmer upstairs. It's a reasonable 72 upstairs. Mm-hmm. And you come down the stairs, it's like walking into a fucking walk-in cooler.
Right.
Just stop. Just turn it down. And then I turn it down or I turn a fan off. Or the, you know, we have ceiling fans all over the place. And it's fucking cold, man. I can't sit on the couch in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt without being like, oh, Jesus. After a couple minutes, so I turn the fan off. She's like, what are you doing?
Gotta do something.
Come on.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break. Like, you gotta be able to tolerate just a little bit of it. You can't shield yourself. It's not responsible. It's not responsible for the planet, for Christ's sakes. We all need to be a little bit okay with being a little bit uncomfortable.
I think. I think you need to be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, you got to suffer a
little
bit.
And here's not bad right now.
It's
warm, not, yeah. But it's not.
Like if we were like rich-ass ballers, this would be unacceptable.
Sure.
But then I try to imagine what it's like in the old place right now.
Oh, this is fucking heaven.
This is a day where we don't even podcast.
We would have been like, no, it's too hot.
Yeah, fuck it. We're not doing it. I drove past there the other night. Maybe it was last night when it started, when it was hot. It was hot yesterday, right?
It was, yeah.
I drove past there and I saw all the lights on in the old place and the windows were shut. And I was like, you boobs. I know that door is fucking stuck as shit right now. Yep. And they can't, like, if the fucking door sucks, I can't get the door.
Yeah.
Oh, eat a bag. And here we are, chilling in the mall. Went downstairs, got a slice.
We did.
Fucking Amsterdam.
We're living the dream in
here.
We
really are.
Really, really are.
Really going to break my heart when the lease is up.
Well, I'm going to go see a play tomorrow in the park.
What park?
Saratoga Park.
Right.
Right. They do Shakespeare in the Park and stuff, and I know somebody in the play, so I'm going to go see it, and
it's going to be
hot. Mm-hmm. Play starts at 11 a.m.
Oh, perfect.
Right as that sun gets right up over us.
Yeah. Between 10 and 4, you're sort of in the bone zone, as they call it. That's a meteorological term. Meteorological.
What we in the field, we in the industry like to call the bone zone.
They should. A lot more people would watch the fucking weather, right? If you got a bone zone alert on your phone. What is this? This fucking thing dings for everything.
Ding.
Bone zone.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. What's the bone zone mean?
Girls.
What's worse, Bone Zone warning or Bone Zone
watch?
Watch. Yeah. I don't know.
No, well, the watch means it's coming. The Bone Zone, right? No, the warning.
No, the warning means it's been.
It seems like it
it's happened.
It's been spotted.
And the watch means we need to look out, right?
The conditions are favorable for a Bone Zone. Yeah.
That shit always freaked me out when I was a kid because I never knew. Yeah. Like, there's a tornado watch. Is that bad?
I get so shitty about that.
What do you mean?
To this day, I am not good with tornado shit. And really? I know that that's like a gross understatement. like nobody's like, man, fuck the tornadoes.
Yeah,
fuck. But like, I have idiot friends who will just stand out in the middle of like, you know, their yard.
So you're
like,
worried about them?
I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them so much. They are nature's asshole. Anything can happen.
Your friends, like, you hate how they stand outside and fuck with that shit.
Oh,
like, are you worried about your friends?
No, No. I just hate how cavalier they are about it and how I seem a lunatic. I just fucking hate it. They are erratic. They, you know what I mean? All this shit about a tornado.
Because you never really know when it's coming.
And even if you see it coming, you know, it could just bounce over your house and level three houses, you know, vice versa. They move, they bounce, they go fucking everywhere. And we don't live in a place that was built for tornadic activities, for the bone zoning.
We're not in Tornado Alley, as it were.
Right, so we don't really have like fortified structures and shit, you know. We live in a valley. What?
I feel like that shit's become more and more commonplace in the past few years.
Definitely.
Like, I feel like when I was a kid, there was like one tornado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like lore.
One time the tornado touched down and blah, 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 blah. Well, there was one in like Mechanicville.
Right.
When I was a kid, I think that was like
that was the big one.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then
it was a pert near an F2 from what I understand.
Yeah, and then you never hear shit about tornadoes. Now, every year, there are three or four tornado watches and warnings throughout the area.
Yeah.
One hit the dome a few years ago.
Yeah. I was at the track.
Kieran's aunt and uncle's house got hit.
Yes.
It was the weirdest fucking thing.
Took down a shed, right?
They had a barn, like a big shed. It wasn't really a barn, but they had a shed that got fucking demolished. They had, and they had a porch, too. Their front porch ripped off the house.
Hate that.
But the house stayed.
Hate that.
It's the weirdest fucking thing. And they were two houses down at her grandmother's house, all hunkered down in the basement and shit.
That's where I would be.
Yeah.
That's where
you're supposed to be.
I went into the basement one time. I had a friend over. And I'm like, I'm a hypochondriac. So I have that going against me. I can only say the sky is falling so many times before people stop paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a joke. Especially in my family, it's like, it's the big joke. Like, you know, I've had fucking West Nile virus. I've had
I've had
all that shit. So I'm maybe like 14 and I have a friend over and I fucking hear it. It's like, to get the alert on TV and shit. And I'm like, guys, it says it's in like whatever. Like not far away. Like, you know.
Like we got to do something.
Like, we have
to
go.
Can we pay attention, please?
I'm like, we have to go in the basement. And I'm like trying to herd my family into the basement. And everybody's just like, would you fucking relax? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. And it was weird, man. The sky was green. Shit was crazy. You know.
It gets weird out. Yeah.
It gets weird. It got within like 3 miles.
You saw that video from when the tornado went through Amsterdam, right?
Yes. The girl from the girl.
Yeah, we have a throughway stop that's like really close by, and it went right over the throughway where she was. And she was parked there, and she got her phone out and recorded that shit.
Yep,
it's still fucking haunting. Like if you watch that now, it's still like holy shit.
I was we were at like a cousin's every year. My girl's cousins do this like cousin's thing. Everybody goes to the track. Goes to dinner afterwards, goes to the casino, like it's just a, you know, whatever. So we were up there and the kid was with her grandmother and back here in the dome. And we're hanging out and all of a sudden it starts like, I can't even tell you. It was like humid like this. And then all of a sudden it started raining so hard out of absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, that's weird, right? And then at once you hear everybody's phones just beeping, like going off. Like weather alerts, and it's pouring, and we're trying to run for cover, and it's fucking madness. And my girlfriend's sister already had left; they got the warning for like where they were up in like Galway or whatever.
Yeah.
They had to pull off the road. There were cars off the road in the ditches. People were freaking the fuck out. And you know, you think like, all right, it's a bad storm, it's a supercell or microburst or whatever. But nah, man, this thing was the real fucking deal, Holyfield, and it cut a path through like the outskirts of town that you can still see. Like the trees still aren't there.
We're talking about the same day. But that was you can still see, like you were saying. You can still see the downed trees. There's a fucking line of them.
No. No.
You don't fuck with a tornado.
I
well,
do
not. That you
not.
Should. Not that you should fuck with a tornado. But like...
Nope.
Yeah, because you don't know. That's the thing.
You don't know shit.
Like with storms, you can be like, well, you can look at like a radar and be like, okay, it's coming this way.
Yeah. This is like some bullshit. When it gets purple on the radar, I'm like, I'm a mess. I get to be a super wreck about it. I can't handle it. I fucking hate it. And it's abated a little bit in the last few years, but I went through a period, like a time period once where, dude, it was bad. Like, and I'd be at work. Right, and I have three monitors at work.
Right,
and I'm like, I look like the NOAA. Like, yeah, I got fucking radar from every channel up. I'm looking at shit. I'm like, you know, I'm over our town, the next town. I'm figuring in fucking wind velocity and how many knots, and it gets
dude. You start thinking you understand all the shit all of a sudden, and you're like, you might as well have been a meteorologist.
Yeah, I went to school.
Well, that was the same shit I was going through last summer, man.
Right,
like I talked about on here with my like anxiety and shit with our basement flooding. We had that shit fixed and taken care of.
Yeah.
But I still was convinced something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Nothing did. Nothing ever happened after we got it fixed. You know what I mean? We got all that shit fixed. Nothing happened. But every fucking storm, I knew if it was going to rain for 5 minutes and like... I start like being, if they said anything over an inch of rain, I got concerned.
Yeah.
Anything over an inch of rain had me on edge.
I know.
And dude, it was bad. So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like it was the same thing with me at work. I have two monitors. I'm not like not as high class as you, I guess.
Whatever.
But I'm like, I have like fucking radar here. Like I'm trying to compare this model to like, well, the last storm system we had did this.
The European model says.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. They say you trust the European model. They say that's the good one.
I had that shit. I mean, even with just rain, I went through that shit too. I lived in an apartment that had a leaky skylight forever, and I had this like, I had this baked in anxiety about it forever and ever and ever. I was the same way. So when you started freaking out about rain, it set off a lot of old bells and whistles for me. Like, oh, I remember that. I remember how it was to be exactly that upset and feel that powerless. And like, so it was not a foreign thing to me. I totally knew what you were going through. I'm happy that you're done with it.
Dude, like, you made a joke that you were like, you just pictured the last day that we, like, I move out of the house and the first rainstorm we get, I'm just like Andy Dufresne at the end of
Josh Hank.
See, now I have this paranoid feeling that the person who bought our house is going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But that's just my own creepy fucking fucked up head.
Yeah.
Literally no drop of water has gotten into that basement since we fixed it.
Yeah, you paid an awful lot of money to fix it.
Yeah, we had it fixed.
You're golden.
Yeah, I know. But now I'm like,
don't worry about it. Stop.
But no, like, seriously, that first rainstorm, like, it was literally the next day we had a downpour of rain. And I was just like, huh. I just don't give a fuck. That's a nice feeling.
And that day, like, Sean Bonds crawled through I forget what he says, a mile of shit.
Came out
clean on the other side.
500
yards of shit.
That's five football fields. I just watched a movie the other night. So that's why I remember it.
He hits that tee hard.
Shit.
500 yards of shit.
500 yards of shit.
Shit. Yeah.
Speaking of movies.
Sean, I'm in such a good mood.
Yeah?
Sean, I can't. All right. Permission to take the floor.
Absolutely. The floor is yours.
All right, let me preface this whole thing with I don't like talking about a certain filmmaker, especially on the podcast, for a couple of reasons.
Uh-huh.
Reason one is that we have a podcast.
Yep.
And he has a podcast.
Yep.
We make movies. He makes movies.
Yeah.
We make kind of like
talky, dialogue-y.
Yeah, that's what he's known for.
Black and white.
Pretty much everything that we've has been that kind of like, hey, you know what this reminds me of?
Or
you must be a bit, you know.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's you know, clearly I wear my influences on my sleeve, and I think you do too. Uh-huh. I think it's pretty clear. But to bring it up always feels like, all right, man, fucking give
like,
it a
we get
fucking
it. All
rest.
Right, every we clearly we don't need like hear more about it.
Like you come into the office and the first thing you see is you know a wall of the signed posters and the fucking
all of it.
I get it. However,
I have a question.
Yes.
Didn't I give you my Red State poster?
No. You were wanting to, and you just never pulled the trigger on it.
I guess I don't know where that shit is.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
You'll find it.
I never gave it to you?
No. You said a few times at the beginning, I should bring that Red State poster, and you just never did.
I have no fucking clue where that is now.
It's probably rolled up somewhere.
It never left the frame.
Oh.
That's a problem.
Hmm.
Anyway, go on.
So, having said all that... I think it's okay to break the moratorium here for today.
In this situation, yeah.
In this situation.
That makes sense.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot is coming out.
It is.
I have been following, because I am a fucking fanboy, I've been following the YouTube videos, the podcasts. I've been listening about it for a long time. Also, let me make it clear that there is a piece of Kevin Smith's career that I love with all my heart. And it is the Clerks Through Dogma piece of his career.
Yeah.
There are a couple of highlights after that. I liked Clerks 2 a lot. I like Zach and Miri a lot. Red State was really good. But there's a lot
totally different kind of movie.
Totally different kind of movie. But there's a lot of he became a different person after a certain point. And I'm really a fan of that kind of like fucking punk rock auteur. That the early period. Right. His early work, right?
Yeah. So like well, yeah. I mean, not to dive into it too deep, but like Clerks was clearly like, fucking A, let's just make a movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was like, there are like...
That's what we do.
That's what we do. But like, there are like, it has its flaws, but in such a fucking good way.
Wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi. There you go. Because considering how fucking expensive film making was at the time.
Yeah.
Times have changed, but the fact that they even made that movie is incredible.
Yeah, totally. Totally incredible.
And then to get kind of shit on after Mallrats, right? You know, and then get a shit budget for everything moving forward, and then still fucking making this pretty great shit. Like, I don't know. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, so everything through Dogma had this real, like, fuck yeah, you know, like, let's do it.
Yeah, kind of wore its heart on its sleeve, and I really liked all that shit.
Yeah.
So, Jay and Bob Strike Back is where I felt like this is now a brand, and it didn't feel as good as it used to.
Right.
I disliked it most out of all the movies. I used to have a poster. I have a poster somewhere. I didn't hang it. It was up for a little bit. I took it down. It just always felt like a fucking Scooby-Doo cartoon. I mean, literally, Scooby-Doo's in the movie.
Yeah.
Just felt like a little bit too, like, you know, zany, fucking madcap fun.
It's hokey.
And that's not what I liked about him. What I liked about, I mean, my one of my top three movies of all time is fucking Chasing Amy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit I liked him doing. So I kind of jumped off the ride, whatever. A lot of time has passed. One of the things I liked most about him and how he made movies was there was some quote that he had when he was making Mallrats, or when he set out to make Mallrats, and he was trying to cast his friends, and a guy at a studio, I think Universal, told him that it wasn't the Kevin Smith talent show. So he was like, well, yeah, why can't it be? You know, like, he wanted to bring all his friends back.
Uh-huh.
I fucking loved that so much. And that's kind of like what we do. We bring people in. You get a close fucking, you know, close group of friends, and you build and shit like that. And I love that idea so much about having this like pack of roving fucking filmmakers who, I love it, right? And of all of those things, what I love the most was this incredible De Niro-Scorsese relationship that he and Ben Affleck had.
Yes.
It was my favorite thing. To an embarrassing degree.
Mm.
I loved the fucking interaction between those guys. I loved what they did on screen, particularly in Chasing Amy. I thought it was fucking, it's just a great movie. Mm-hmm. It was really well directed and really well acted. I know a lot of people say it doesn't hold up. You All Can Eat a Bag of Dicks. It's a fucking great movie.
I can see how somebody today who has no context might think that the movie has issues. But get over yourself. Whatever. It's a good fucking movie.
Eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
go back and listen to the commentaries from Mallrats through through Dogma. And they're the most entertaining. This is before podcasts,
right?
This is like you only had 90 minutes or 100 minutes of these talking things, and you only had three or four of them, right? Mm-hmm. And I fucking listened to those ad nauseum. And the relationship that those guys had, and it just made me happy that these two guys could be that close and make movies together. It felt so fucking, like, I just loved that working and personal relationship.
Yeah.
And they fell out. And I feel like a fucking lunatic. I have never told anybody what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
I would spend a ton of time, an inordinate amount of time, looking for reasons why they fell apart. I would fucking search deep, go into like the deep annals of Reddit to look for. This was somebody at a live show and it all came out.
Like, oh,
did somebody say something?
I put two and two together and I was able to figure out.
Yes, I just need to know. I need to know how it went down. I was so invested in that relationship, and I don't know why, but I was super invested. Sadly, I'm admitting that this is a sad and pathetic thing to be. I was so invested, and you know, you hear it's Jennifer Garner, and there was this shit that happened on Catch and Release, and you know, he was busting Ben's balls, and she's like, fuck you don't bust his balls, I bust his balls, right? Turning this territoriality thing, whatever. And it was just like, it was over, and it always kind of left me feeling shitty,
right?
Like, I guess friends can't make movies together. I guess there's no such thing as real friends,
right? It's gonna fall apart regardless, right?
Everything falls apart. And they had this run of making these fucking amazing movies, and it doesn't matter because everything dies, even friendships. And I have a friendship, a super close friendship, that did the same thing. And I always kind of like equated them, and it always kind of like, I kind of got it.
Okay.
Sort of heartbreaking, and it just, you know. So I get this text from you the other day, yesterday. I'm at the gym. Get a text with a link to the Jay and Bob reboot trailer, which came out a couple days early.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out today.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, fuck. I wasn't ready for it.
So I'm watching it. It's three minutes long. I watch it at the gym.
Yep.
And I'm really into it.
Uh-huh.
I think it looks great. I think there's a lot
I was laughing at the trailer. I was like, holy shit.
Like, legitimately laughing.
I'm like,
great cameos.
And then I saw that, like, his daughter is starring in it, and I was kind of like, really? But she sounded good.
Sounded good, and she's Jay's daughter, and that's
funny.
Yeah,
and it's like, I know it's a trailer, so hopefully, you know, it lives up to it, but like,
Fred Armisen,
are looking good.
Everything looks
Fred
good.
Fred Armisen, yeah, like all these cameos you didn't even think you wanted, and now that you got them, you're like, fuck yeah.
They get everybody.
They got everybody in this movie.
Then there's this beat where it's Affleck. You see Damon, and then Ben fucking Affleck. And out loud, at the gym, I went, oh my God! Just like that. Just like that. With my fucking earbuds in.
Yeah.
I have no idea how loud I said it.
Who cares?
I could peripherally see heads turning. People heard me over the thumping fucking gym music in their headphones. I shrieked instinctively so loudly. I was embarrassed. But I felt so fucking great about that. Because I thought, shit, man, there is hope. Like, people can fucking fix it, you know? And it just made everything seem so much better. It made everything, like, it made the movie feel like, look at this. It really is like this. He really did bring them all back, you know? And this is where Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back happened in 2001. Dogma happened in, like, 99. It was only 2 years between the movies. It wasn't time to bring Jay and Bob yet. Like, now is the time. Give them 20 years and then bring them back. And now it's
impactful. I love the premise of the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's clever as shit.
Really clever.
It's a reboot because
everybody's rebooting.
Because everybody's rebooting movies. And this movie's getting rebooted because they are trying to stop the reboot of the movie that they tried to stop. Fucking
almost 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, oh my God. Like,
I didn't think I could be in a better mood until today.
Oh, why? What happened today?
Today, Kevin Smith posts a picture of himself and Jason Mewes and Affleck.
Oh, I saw that. I did see that.
And now I'm going to read this.
Okay.
This is his post on Facebook. It's a little bit long. All right. Stay with me.
I saw the picture. I did not read anything.
It says, "My boyfriend's back." When the trailer for J.M. Silent Bob Strike Back reboot dropped, folks found out a few of our secrets of the biggest being that Ben Affleck is back as Holden McNeil. The co-creator of Bluntman and Chronic and friend to J.M. Silent Bob plays a crucial role in the reboot, and his scene is one of the best bits of cinema that I've ever been involved in. It's absolutely magical and life-affirming and all the things I really care about now, post-heart attack. But when we started shooting the movie, the scene didn't exist. The scene,
wow.
The scene, and more importantly, my reunion with a guy who I've missed terribly for nearly a decade, only happened because Kevin McCarthy interviewed Ben for a Netflix movie, Triple Frontier, and kicked off by asking Ben, "Did they call you for the reboot yet?" And Ben said no, but he was available. So producer Jordan Monsanto said, "Call Ben." And I told her, "That's just some shit to say to junket. He wasn't serious." A week later, Jordan, Jay Mewes, and Jen Schwalbach were all pressing me to reach out to Ben. So finally I did. I was scared to be rejected, but I texted him. To paraphrase the sad old king Osric from Conan the Barbarian, "There comes a time when the jewels cease to sparkle, when the gold loses its luster, when the throne room becomes a prison, and when all that's left is a director's love for the people he used to make pretend with. And after a long beat of wondering how he'd receive this, my estranged friend wrote back as only he could, 'Of course you still liken yourself to a king.'"
Yeah.
"And then, 'Would be a pleasure to see you again, old man.' So naturally, weepy me, who breaks down emotionally during comic book flicks, was a blubbery mess. Not only did we score an amazing scene for the flick, but I also got my friend back. All because of entertainment journalism. Thank you, Kevin McCarthy. Your View-Askew-themed opening question not only allowed me to make an 8-page sequel to Chasing Amy in the middle of Jay and Silent Bob reboot, it also brought back a massive missing piece of my heart." God damn it. Now look, I'm uncomfortable with how this makes me.
Oh, I can
how
see
this
it.
This makes me feel.
I can see it right now.
I feel like the last decade at least of time that I have been digging, going like, what happened? Something had to have happened. It's not fair. It's not, this isn't, you know, is it not real? The people, did they just drift apart? Is that how it works? Like, fuck. I hate that. It was all real, and now it's all over. And like, it's fucking great. I just feel so good, and I feel inordinately good about it. And I've been thinking about why.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt so good. And I don't know the answer. I don't know why I feel so good about this. I feel like this impacts me personally, which is fucking crazy. And I hear myself saying it, but I feel really good about it. I feel really fucking good about it.
Did it inspire you to do anything?
Well, I mean,
did it inspire you to like maybe reach out to somebody you hadn't talked to in a long time, or
you know, I've been thinking about it. Yeah, kind of
not to put you on the spot.
Well, kind of all day I've been thinking about it. Like, you know, maybe I should mend that fence, and you know, I don't really feel like it's my place to mend it, and I wasn't really the one that fucking decided to ice the other one out. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you're not promised every day, and maybe it's worth it to kind of go back and enough lost time and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it. I think that might be it. I think it might be that I have tied my personal relationship that kind of followed this same path into this situation very closely. Mm. Like I kind of saw it.
You linked them.
Yeah, I sort of emotionally linked them. So I think like there's a little piece of me that's like, fuck, you can kind of work it out, you know?
You can go home again.
And I'm really nostalgic. So, I mean, sure. You know.
Well, yeah, it's like things you think they're just over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And all of a sudden, here we are again. And it opens up a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like with these two guys, it opens up a lot of doors. I mean, they made a lot of good stuff together. Like a lot of stuff that I really liked as a consumer. So maybe there'll be more. Or maybe there won't be. Or maybe we can just look forward to having Ben on the fucking Smodcast. Or maybe, you know, like maybe it's just enough to know, like, oh, these guys are friends again. And that's nice for me.
Even that seems like enough.
Yeah, I am totally good with it.
To know that everybody's on the same page, everybody's good.
It's like a band you love getting back together.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck, you guys were way better together than apart. And mm-hmm. I'm glad you fucking worked it out. And it wasn't for money. It wasn't like Guns N' Roses, you know, who's just like...
Right, listen, we can all make a shit ton of money if we just...
Yeah. Just fucking swallow it and let's do it.
Affleck doesn't need the money.
Definitely not. Definitely not. So it made me feel really good. Trailer was great. Fucking Ben and Kevin are back together. I just feel like, hey, it's all good. Like, things are good.
Yeah.
Things are good. But the whole fucking world is about going back. The whole world is reaching into the past.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing new. We made a joke last week or a couple weeks ago about the fucking Toy Story and Chucky. What the hell was out there? There was like a bunch of 90s movies that were all...
Oh, everything was out at the same time. Yeah.
Yes.
Toy Story, Chucky, fucking... what year is it?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But then I'm thinking
there
about...
There was one other one, too, that's out.
There was like three or four of them that were out. And Lion King.
Lion King, yeah.
It was crazy.
Aladdin.
Yes. So I'm like, I'm thinking about this shit. Like, when I was a kid, I hated the idea of being these old guys, my friends' uncles and shit, who would drive around in, like, a Z28 listening to Pix 106 classic rock.
Right.
Still rocking the fuck out to a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Mm-hmm. Still loving it, you know? And me just being like, I'm never going to be that guy. I'm never going to be that guy. I'm never going to be. And now I'm that guy. I'm totally that guy. I stopped giving a fuck about pop culture in 2004. I stopped giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about any of it. It's all garbage. There's a couple of things that sneak in here and there where I'm like, okay, I like that. But it's so few and far between. But up until 2004, it was like, I took everything. You know, I took all comers. I was like, fucking, it's like Stormy Daniels just taking it from every angle. Just, give me everything. Give me all your music. Give me all your movies. Give me all your TV. I'll fucking take it all. And then I just ran out of room and I hated everything. But now here we are. It's 2019.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the Jay and Bob reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited about Top Gun 2. Okay. Saw the fucking trailer for that. I watched Top Gun two nights ago. I'd seen that movie probably 100 times. I used to know every word of the dogfight. Movie does not hold up at all. And fucking then the trailer for Top Gun 2 drops. I'm like, fucking take all my money. Take it now. I want to see it right now. I will pay to see it uncut. I don't care. It's fucking, I'm in. Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah.
And fucking today they announced that Netflix gave Eddie Murphy $70 million to make a stand-up special.
I did not know that. Holy shit. $70 million? Did you just say those words?
70 million.
A guy who does not need any more money.
No.
Holy shit.
It's all of us. It's all about going back. Because there is nothing new. I think we've run out of shit. And I know this is not new ground. But really, now we're at
a point. Have we run out of things?
But dude, like, and
Or have people just given up because they know money is in nostalgia? That's where the money is.
Well, I think it's my generation finally took over everything. So now.
Like, no, we're going to tell you what's good.
Right. Well, right. My generation got in the position where they worked themselves up into the authority positions and shit.
Yeah.
And then they re-released the NES. And fucking, you know, all of a sudden, My Little Pony is back.
Right.
And Thundercats is in development. And fucking, you know, they trash the Transformers franchise shit. And then they make a good Transformer. Bumblebee was supposed to be a good Transformers. And they fucking bring back, like, the good version of Star Wars. And all of these things start to happen. Mm-hmm. And now here you go. Bill and Ted, fucking, you know, Jay and Bob, fucking Eddie Murphy. All of these things are starting
Cats
to take
place. Cats the movie.
Cats the movie.
I mean, for your now theater.
Now and forever. At the Winter Garden Theater. It was the same voice on Pix 11 when I was growing up on Channel 11. They would play the commercials for all the Broadway shows, and Cats was one of them, you know? But then, like, that voice would also be the guy who'd be like, the Cats now and forever was also the guy who was like, Les Miserables at the Neil Simon Theater. Hello, Dolly. Same guy. Right, but to that point, yeah, Katz was fucking giant when I was
huge.
A kid.
Yeah.
It was huge. It was everything.
Huge.
It literally said now and forever. Yeah. They expected to have the Winter Garden Theater demolished with the fucking Katz inside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It's all come all the way back around. Like, all the fucking... Mm-hmm. Bad Boys 3 is coming out. Fucking... We've run out, and it's just... And now we're on to the... It started with, like... We should make another Star Wars movie. And Star Wars is so big, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, that's low-hanging fruit. Yes, make another Star Wars movie. Make another fucking, whatever, Star Trek movie. Make all the big stuff. But now we're down to, like, the subculture.
Isn't there a...
We should make another Bill and Ted movie.
Well, isn't there a... Isn't there a Picard thing?
Yeah, there's a Picard show.
Yeah, with fucking...
Fucking Picard.
Yeah. Like, you can't get more fucking 80s, 90s than that.
That's
man.
It. They bring it back Picard, who's now legitimately 90 years old.
Right.
But there's nothing. Chris Rock, here's a new sentence.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Is rebooting the Saw franchise.
Yeah, those don't go together.
Chris Rock
is
rebooting the Saw franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Those words don't make sense.
Those don't go together.
In the same sentence.
Not at all.
We're out of fucking ideas. Take that energy and do something else. Just try. But what the fuck? What is it? Is it that there's no way to get all these little projects made? So now it's...
Aside from a horror movie. But even horror movies are fucking remakes and...
Yeah.
Of shit.
Yeah.
Chucky, fucking Halloween.
Yep.
It's not a remake, but it's a fucking...
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're
sure,
rebooting the franchise. Not rebooting, but you're bringing it back.
Sure.
It's a sequel, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything, man. And I'm not even like... Okay, so can you bring up, like, what's in theaters right now?
Yeah.
Just so we can fucking take a look at it and, like...
I'd be happy to, Sean.
Because even Toy Story, a fucking movie franchise that you thought was done, is back.
Oh, sure is.
And everything Disney's doing right now. Like... What was the last new Disney movie?
I don't know. All right. Lion King.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
I mean...
We've seen him.
We've seen him.
I mean, Spider-Man's part of an ongoing franchise, but we had a Spider-Man.
We did. Tobey Maguire.
Almost
20 years ago.
15 years ago or 20 years... Yeah.
Toy Story. I don't know what Crawl is.
I don't know what Crawl... Oh, no. It's like a fucking gator.
Okay.
Okay, but like...
I don't know what's...
Lake Placid. Like, come on.
Yeah, Stuber.
Stuber is a comedy.
Yesterday is a movie about the Beatles.
Actually, I like the premise of that. Yep. I'm not going to lie. Of Yesterday.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Got to see that.
Yeah.
Aladdin. Another Annabelle movie. Another Pets movie.
Yep.
Art of Self-Defense. Midsommar. That actually looks kind of cool. Another John Wick movie.
Yep.
I don't know what Super 30 is. Captain Underpants, the Lego movie. That's the original Lego movie.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And Smile, Please. I mean, I don't know. So there's one, let's see. There's one, two.
Well, three, Midsommar is a Shakespeare play.
Four, five, six, seven, eight. There's eight sequels or reboots playing at the Crossgates Mall Theater right now. Eight mm-hmm. out of 18 cinemas. So almost half of the movies playing in the movie theater, in the largest movie theater we have in our little burg,
mm-hmm.
are reboots or remakes.
For sure. It's a lot.
Motherfuckers aren't even trying. It's not like there's one. Back in the day, I mean, like, fuck, dude, if there was a sequel, it was like, holy shit.
Holy shit, they made another one.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaws 2 kind of bullshit. You know? But fuck it, like
Ghostbusters,
right?
You're
sure,
like, holy shit, there's another one.
I can't believe the story continues.
Right,
this is amazing. What are they gonna do now? It's just a foregone conclusion. Now everybody hangs out and waits for the post credit sequence and shit.
Yeah, they fucked us, man.
They fucked us. It's only the theater has just become this giant tentpole industry. It's almost become like the theater that you love, where it's like the only shows that will survive are the biggest shows.
Yeah.
And they have their own theaters and everybody fucking comes in to see them. That's like what the cinemas are now. It's just the only thing that can possibly survive is a fucking Toy Story movie because you can't lose money.
Well, see, here's the thing I don't get. So you have this movie like Stuber, right?
Yeah.
Do they expect that movie to make money?
Right.
Do they, like, seriously?
Well, they have to.
Do they expect it to make money currently?
Right.
No, I would imagine they're thinking, oh, we're going to make, it's a comedy, we're going to make our money in fucking VOD and streaming.
The whole market for these mid-level movies and small movies is totally gone. And it all went to Netflix, and it all went to fucking Hulu, and it went into episodic shit.
And don't get me wrong, they're putting out good content.
They certainly are.
Like, I still haven't watched Stranger Things.
Can me neither. It? I haven't either.
I think it's just because...
It's your fucking time, man. I want to get into it, and I really want to get into it. I really want.
That's the thing. I'm watching attention. I'm watching a 30-inch TV in my father-in-law's basement right now.
Yeah, you can't fuck with that.
I don't want to fucking ruin that. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
So I can't watch. I can't just sit and like watch something.
Yep.
But yeah. So no, there's all this episodic shit. Like this is the golden age of TV.
Yeah.
Everybody says it was the fucking 50s and the 70s when like
it's the first golden age.
You know,
age.
Like yeah, that was. But like I'm telling you, this is better.
Well, yeah, but I mean, back then it was big because it hadn't happened before. This is like, this is this next level of shit where where we used to get really excited about like The Sopranos because you're like, fuck it, dude, they make 13 movies
right.
a season. It's a movie. It's an hour movie.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal and you'd have to wait all this time for it, but now every show does it. There are shows that are on FX that are just like that.
Oh, yeah.
All those fucking motorcycle club movies and fucking fireman shows. They're all like, holy shit, you guys are making like legitimate narrative fucking features just hour long.
Right.
And they're on all year.
They're on all the time.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's craziness. And then Netflix goes and does some stupid shit like gives Eddie Murphy $70 million. And that's why everybody's fucking Netflix went up from $10 to $13 or $14.
Right.
Because you're doing shit like that. But yeah, I know.
And so did he agree to it? Like
he's doing it. It's happening.
That's going to be a while, though. He's got to write some shit. He's probably been writing shit for fucking 30 years.
I listen to a lot of Neil Brennan, and he's, you know, I don't know if he's very close with Eddie Murphy, but he's there, I guess, a lot at his house.
Mm-hmm.
He hangs out with Chappelle and shit. And he says Eddie's still the fucking funniest guy he knows. And he's never not been funny. It's just his whole take on it was always like... He just didn't want to do it. He just didn't want to get back on stage. He had kids. He didn't want to be vulgar right. Eddie Murphy with his kids. He wanted to make money. He wanted to hang out at home.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go on a fucking comedy tour. There was nothing in it for him. So it was just like, yeah, man, I'm getting paid to make movies. I'm bringing my kids with me. I'm fucking chilling. Why do I need to do it? They offered him $70 million. That's a lot of reasons to do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't turn it down.
Tickets to this show.
Yeah, it's like a one night. He's going to do it on the moon.
Yeah.
I think that's the deal. It's going to be like Elon Musk and Richard Branson. They're going to be his captive audience.
What if they live streamed it, too?
That would be so baller.
They like, do it in a theater. You can't do comedy without, you know, people. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What if they do it in the theater, but then live stream on Netflix?
That would be some shit.
Because they don't do any live streaming, do they, on Netflix?
No. But that would be an event.
What's stopping them from doing it?
Nothing.
You know what I mean?
Eddie Murphy.
HBO live streams on their apps.
Eddie Murphy is stopping them. It could be amazing. But again, I mean, we're all just going back. We're regressing into the things we liked. And I hope that the generation in front of or behind me really can like get their shit together and rebel against all this shit. Because that's kind of what like the generation before me did, or two generations. The Scorsese, Coppola, those guys came out of like NYU and UCLA, and they were like the first film school guys, and they were just like, fuck all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to do things our way. And they were maverick filmmakers, and mm-hmm. they had this run making these great movies that were fucking like nobody had ever seen anything like them. And then over the course of the next 30 or 40 years, we just kept digging them up and digging them up and digging them up. So now I just hope that there's some kid somewhere like doing something that's just like, all right, fuck another fucking Toy Story movie. Like, here's something that matters. I just hope that eventually like the platforms will, you know, will find a place to play these things that aren't that's not fucking YouTube, you know.
Right.
YouTube's great, but
I'll say, is that a problem though? I mean,
it's a problem because
our way of watching these things has changed.
Yeah,
countless times. Well, not countless, but you know what I mean, like
yeah
over the years. I mean, like, going to a movie theater was such an event at one point,
right?
And then it hit a point where it was just like the fun thing to do. And even now it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I still love the theater experience.
Oh, so do I.
I hate that I hate that we won't be in a place where like a movie we make doesn't play in front of a bunch of people, because I just feel like those, I feel like everything just plays better in a crowd. And
absolutely,
it's just like people watch it on their fucking phones and shit. And like, ugh. Having said that, the problem with a place like YouTube is that there's so much, there's beyond so much on it. And there's no, the playing field is totally leveled. It's totally democratized between my kid, who makes these really cool, fun little animated videos with like some apps that she has that are awesome, good for her, God bless her. I love that she fucking does it. There's nothing between that and a guy who I follow who makes features, who releases them solely on YouTube,
right,
that has a fucking, you know, $100,000 budget. It's in the same channel, the same platform. There's so fucking much. You can't get through it. Like, you almost need that tastemaker. You almost need that shit, you know? As shitty as that is.
There almost needs to be like a set standard almost.
Kinda.
You think that?
I mean, look,
if it's all about what people want to watch, though, right? They're going to watch what they want to watch.
But it becomes impossible to find what you want to watch. I mean, I don't know what the fuck is out there. It happens to me probably once or twice a month. I find a new channel or something on YouTube. Right. I'm like, holy shit.
Where's this been?
I fucking love this. And I go deep, you know? But like, there's no guarantee anyone's ever going to find this shit. And you're relying on YouTube algorithm or word of mouth. I mean, it's just so fucking big. Whereas traditionally,
it's daunting. You don't even want to dive into it because you're like, I'm not going to find anything.
I hate diving into Netflix.
That's what I was going to say. It's the same thing when you're trying to watch something on Netflix. You assume everything is good, which is part of the problem, because not everything on Netflix is fucking good.
Right.
Like, there's a bunch of shit on Netflix.
Yeah.
But like, especially like Prime, there's a lot of garbage on Prime.
Yeah.
Like, there is not
Death Before Discomfort.
No, Death Before Discomfort on Amazon Prime. But
that's a good example, because you know what else is on Prime? Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Godfather 2 and Death Before Discomfort are both on Prime. They're on the same platform. That's ridiculous.
So, Alien comes to Earth.
Yeah.
And is given an Amazon Prime account.
Yeah.
Doesn't know anything. Doesn't know film history.
Sure.
Doesn't know anything. They might pick Death Before Discomfort over The Godfather.
Right.
Because they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, there's two movies here.
Yeah. Chitara clearly was the hottest cartoon character in the history of television, from what we've seen on our planet.
On our planet.
Yeah.
The little that we have gotten up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish that there was something kind of in between. And people have tried to start it. There's been a lot of little, like, startup video streaming services, but like, you're never going to have the power.
You're never going to have the ability to take over. Like,
you're never going to have the technical ability. The shit that YouTube and Netflix can do, where they're in front of the wall at an ISP level, where they get like preferential traffic.
Yeah. Do you ever notice how your YouTube video loads in no time?
Yeah.
But then you go to some random third-party video platform, and it takes fucking forever for that shit to load.
Well, they,
that's why.
They
man.
Pay for that to happen.
Yeah.
They're in the front of the line. They're in the first lane of the internet.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that on some startup video service.
No.
So, like, there has to be... I know, look, I'm fucking punk rock, you know, indie cinema guy, like fucking make your movie, blah, blah, blah. Distribution is a totally different animal. Like, a
completely different thing. Yeah.
It's a totally different thing. Like, make your like movie,
you
make your
make
movie,
the
make
best
your
fucking
movie
ever.
But it's
going to
get
like
fucking lost.
$50.
Yeah, it's
going to
get lost.
But nobody's going to see it.
It's just going to get lost. Yeah. And you really, like, you really have to be super, super good at marketing and shit. It's just fucking impossible, man. Whereas, like, before, you get a video, you get your movie in a video store, you've got a one in, I don't know how many titles a video store used to carry, 600. You got a one in 600 chance of being rented.
And all you had to do was come up with some cool box art.
Right.
People would be like, oh, that's fucking neat looking.
Dude, start your movie with an A, and it's the first shit they see when they walk in the store. Like, you could get in there. You could be seen and really sort of generate income and garner an audience and shit. Not that way anymore. Same thing with film festivals, man. Look, I spent
there's
so money.
So many of them, too.
There's so many, and none of them mean anything.
And none of them are fucking, yeah, they just... a lot of the film festivals are just like, hey, well, I made a movie.
Yeah.
How can I get away with showing it to a bunch of people? Fuck, I'll start a film festival.
Right.
And then everybody will have to watch it.
Right.
And watch. We'll show other movies, too. I mean, yeah, we'll show mine, too. But we'll show everybody else's movie, too.
Right.
And the next thing you know,
we'll
enough
people
who
bucks.
Also... Everybody at these things are either in the movie or fucking made the movie. And it's just a bunch of people jerking each other off.
It's jerking. It's a circle jerk.
Don't get me wrong. Sure. It's great. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, everybody should applaud each other for making their shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you can get if you have a captive audience who will sit down and watch your shit, that's great, regardless of who they are. You know what I mean? So much of it is for what?
Yeah, for what? It used to be.
Are people just coming and watching your shit because they're being polite because you want them to come see their shit? Or do they really want to actually come see your shit? Do they want to actually like have a conversation about?
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about as far as other filmmakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do they actually want to talk about it?
Like that's what I want. I want to I want to get our shit in festivals where we can have that experience of strangers seeing the movie and having a reaction to the movie, and that's what it's about. But there's so many where it's just not, that doesn't happen. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're everywhere, but it used to be fucking like, you know, you're going to get seen and maybe if you're super lucky, you'll like have somebody talk to you that's connected, and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing fucking punch up somewhere. Maybe your movie sells for, you know, a couple of $1,000 and you have the ability, or at bare minimum, you're just raising awareness. You're treating it like a road show where you're raising awareness going like, hey, just go here and you can buy it for this amount of money. Blah,
yeah.
Blah,
and
blah.
Then a bunch of like local people see it that they're like, oh, you know what, we saw that movie, like I want to help them make some more shit.
Anything like that.
That's how that shit happens. But now it's to the point where if you want to make anything like that, you can't get into the big festivals because you didn't have $1 million budget.
Yeah, minimum.
You know what I mean? Like, even $150,000 isn't a lot of money.
No. And that's the shit I try to tell everybody. Everybody thinks I'm being, like, self-deprecating or disparaging, you know, on our work and shit. When I say, like, hey, there is no point. There, you know, no, just you submit it to fucking Sundance. Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore.
Are you going
to
pay the fee?
It doesn't.
Are you going to pay the entry fee?
Right.
Because you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
And
pay the $80.
I'll forward the email to you when they laugh at us.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, it doesn't happen that way anymore.
Yeah. Oh, you have no known actors in your movie?
Right. Right.
I don't know any of these people. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. It's an independent film. But like...
That doesn't exist anymore. And even those second tier ones like Slam Dance are starting to get too big for their britches. And it just keeps sort of building and building. And everybody can make movies now. And I'm not being like falsely modest.
No, it's a fact.
Everybody
has the ability to
Everybody does.
That's why YouTube became such a thing. Because everybody has the ability to at least cut together some video.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like in a pissy way. It's just the fact of the matter is that you don't have to learn at this point. Like you can teach yourself you know how to use a computer? Great. You can probably edit video.
Dude, when I started this
shit, I'm not saying it's going to be great.
It was impossible to fucking get editing software. And when you got it, you had to have a powerhouse computer and you had to like, it was this whole thing.
And you had to know shit.
Yeah. You had to know shit.
I mean, don't get me wrong, to do it well, now you still need to know some shit.
Yeah, but there you can also learn that shit on YouTube.
Right.
You're not reading books. You're not taking classes. You're not spending hundreds and thousands of hours trying to figure it out yourself, fumbling your way through shit, going like, holy fuck, I just figured out how to J-cut. This change is a game changer. I remember the day I figured that out on, you know, Premiere 7.0 in like 1999. And I was like, holy shit, I can fucking make a J-cut or an L-cut. Like, this changes it. I remember that moment because there was no YouTube video to go, hey, dumbass, this is how you do it.
Right.
Now you go on YouTube and you look for fucking Premiere tips and it's endless pages.
Do you ever do this shit? I do this shit all the time where if I don't know how to do something, I look it up and I literally just by seeing the title of the YouTube video, I'm like, oh, no, I know how to do that now.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, okay. Or like, or you'll open the screen up or you'll open the video up and the guy will be like, all right, guys, today we're going to talk about, but just by the screen he has open, you're like,
there it is.
Got it. That's how you do it. All right.
Hey, guys.
But and not for nothing. Look at them. Look at those guys. They look so happy.
They look so happy.
Right. We're looking at like Kevin Smith and Affleck.
Oh, it's
That's great. So happy. But like Kieran has her YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I didn't teach her how to edit video.
Yeah, she just did it.
She just figured it out.
Dude, my 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah. Go to Kieran's YouTube channel.
Edits video like, every day. All day. She just makes videos. And she's cutting on the Premiere Go or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the phone thing.
Yeah.
The phone one, yeah.
That's it.
Clips or something it's called.
Yeah.
It's Thrifted Living. It auto-corrects to Thrusted Loving a lot, which is hilarious.
What?
So, like, look at this shit. Go to her uploads, like her most recent, go to videos here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys can't. I know. I'm so glad. But like, go to this one right here. This first one right here.
Okay. Should I be playing this on the website? On the podcast?
Yeah, that's fine. Look how this looks.
I know.
She didn't do anything.
I know.
Look how clear this looks. Turn the sound on. It sounds great.
Does it? Hang on. I'll make sure it's jacked.
And vintage items. I am so excited it sounds to share clear. This with you all.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all this shit while, that, like, you, that can, you can turn your shit off now.
Vintage and all things nostalgic.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the things that we traditionally you struggle.
Struggle, dude.
To do. Like, she plapped her camera down and just hit record, man. And I'm not saying she doesn't know what she's doing. She
no,
does,
no.
But you know what I'm saying?
She doesn't do this professionally.
Well, she kind of...
Well, okay. But she doesn't do... I mean, like...
She's not a professional filmmaker.
This isn't
she's
her...
She's not a videographer.
Right.
She's not, like,
this isn't her primary job. She doesn't have a fucking comm degree in visual arts. She's not, like, a fucking... She's not, like, burning the midnight oil in the edit bay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she's a fucking YouTube star and figured it out. Just fucking figured
just
it out.
Just did it.
So that's to that point.
Uh huh.
Everybody can fucking do this.
That's my point. And she would tell you the same thing.
And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
On that side of me, like in the guy who makes the stuff, I'm like, yes, everybody make your movie.
Great.
I want everybody to do it.
Yeah.
I fucking love to lend people shit. Like, what do you need? How can I help? On the fucking back end, getting people to see it, mm-hmm. there's no difference between like Kieran's video about her thrift haul, a nostalgic find, summer 2019, is one click away from the Top Gun 2 trailer. That's a fucking $250 million movie.
Yep.
They're on the same website. It's one click away.
Yep.
There is no difference. Like, there's just like, it's all in the same pot. It's so much, man.
Right. And you mean you can argue algorithm shit and
yeah.
You know, pay to play stuff to get your stuff on the recommended page and the trending page.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's plenty of that shit. But
there's so much.
But there's nothing stopping like this video from going fucking crazy and
right.
Like yeah.
And like I follow a bunch of filmmakers and people who make stuff and
right.
What are the odds that I'm going to see one of their movies? And what's worse is, and I am a crazy tolerant guy when it comes to this shit, like I want to watch all your stuff, I want to watch everybody's independent feature.
Yeah,
I love it.
You can't though.
You start to watch it and you're 3 minutes in and you're like that sidebar, and you're looking at a thumbnail and you're like, that looks like it could be better, and you just jump over and you start it and you give it 3 minutes and
thumbnails
you're like,
are important.
Oh, the fucking sound isn't as good as, but maybe it will be in a minute and a half because maybe it was just this one scene. But nope, you're
out the
door. You
try to give the benefit of the doubt,
and you just and you're not fucking watching anything. It's just, ugh, it's so much.
Yeah,
it's so fucking much, and it happened with this movie too. With our new movie, we shot everything flat. And with the intent of, oh, cool, we shoot everything in log and then everything is super flat. And then you go in afterwards and you add all the color information. So you start off with a really gray, muddy picture.
Right.
And then you can
build it
and have a fucking ton of latitude to make it look really good. That's great. It was fucking awesome. And I love doing it. And I think everything looks really good. And I'm really proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an endless decision, fucking torturous. it's toil because you're like, oh, I could do anything.
Right.
I could do anything.
Yeah. And you get like 20 minutes deep and you're like, is this the right choice?
Right. Whereas like there's value in shooting something like baked in. There's value of like,
yeah,
just this is what it looks like. And you know, you can maybe raise levels a little bit, but they're like, this is it. Get mm-hmm. everything in the camera and make it, because the fucking your paralysis by analysis and shit. I'm just real bad at it. I don't know how we got onto that.
No, man, it's good.
Jay and Bob.
Jay and Silent Bob.
October.
Yeah.
2019.
It's coming out this October?
Yeah.
That's fucking great. In
just a couple of months from now.
Oh, shit.
I really wanted to go to that Clerks 3 reading, too.
Yeah, you sent me that link, and I clicked on the link as soon as you sent it to me, and I was like, yeah, it's...
I'm not ruling out going to Jersey for the reboot showing, though.
Is that the closest one?
Well, no. There's one TBD in Manhattan, but it's not. The theater hasn't been selected yet. But, dude, Red Bank is a 20-minute ferry ride from the Lower East Side.
Fair enough.
So if you're going to go to the city, you may as well just go to the fucking... You may as well go to the Mecca,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
we should totally it. Do it. Mm-hmm. We should totally... We could get a room...
That'd be real nice.
Yeah, yeah. Garden State.
Yo. Zach Braff.
Yo, Natalie Portman. Yo,
yo.
Yo, epilepsy. Yo, yo.
Yo.
Shins.
Medieval times.
Oh, yo. Reality Bites. Yeah.
Silent Velcro.
Oh, yo.
I liked that movie.
I love
that. A lot of people
movie.
Don't like that
I
movie.
Love that movie.
I don't
movie.
Know why that movie got so much shit.
Because it was movie. Like, you know, a little feely. It's a little feely movie.
Oh, depression.
Oh, yep. Quarter life crisis. Oh,
yep.
You know why else I'm excited, Sean?
Why?
Because we spent our last shooting day in Pine Lake, New York.
We did.
We got all our pickup shots done. And we got to wrap out not only the location, but more importantly, Susanna Bourne,
yep,
who played our female lead in the movie,
yes,
Alex Perkins, and she, and it was really nice to be able to wrap her.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 days before that, we shot the final scene of the movie.
We did, and it looks great.
Yeah, it does look good.
Oh, it looks so good.
And we wrapped you.
We did.
And you did a fucking phenomenal job in the movie. I was so happy that we were able to make this work. I remember telling you, like, I'd really like to put you in this movie, but that means that you can't shoot it, so we need to find a DP.
So we need to find a DP.
This is all predicated.
It couldn't have worked out better, though, because our DP's great.
Yeah, you were both perfect. It was really good. Got to fucking wrap you out. Got to wrap out Derek Healy, who had a fun cameo in the movie. So, yeah.
And Jeff was wrapped.
Jeff is not.
Oh,
wrapped.
Yeah, that's right.
Jeff, there's a little.
There is a little thing.
Quick reshoot with Jeff, but he, for all intents and purposes, Jeff is. Yeah, he's almost there. So we've got one half day left. It's a reshoot. It already exists, but dude, it feels fucking good. It really feels good. Great. I'm really excited.
How long is it?
The movie, bro.
Currently,
hour 52.
That's not too bad.
No, and we're going to lose probably 3 more minutes on it.
You think so?
Yeah, because the rewritten scene we're going to shoot
yeah.
is about 3.
You shortened it up.
Yeah, I had him here rehearsing, and I timed it out, and it's about 3 minutes shorter.
That's good.
So, yeah, and you know that with cuts and shit and making stuff work. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll be about $149, I
that's
imagine.
That's not bad. I don't think that's bad at all.
No. It's what it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's right where it needs to be. I'm really fucking...
No,
really?
Man, it's great. It's great. It's so fucking great. I'm excited.
Me too.
We gotta start planning premiere.
We do.
Like, I don't want to jump the gun.
No,
but
I mean,
think we're there. I think that's a fair thing to start planning for.
Yeah, like, I mean, the cut is the minus
I think
the
September.
The, yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I always kind of envision September. September will be the year mark from when we first rolled
that's
camera.
Right.
So I'd always imagined like
was it September 1st.
It was September 1st.
Yeah,
and we'll be done with it.
It was Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it was, and we'll be done with it. You know, and it will be done. It'll be done, locked, ready to go. 11 months, I would imagine. There's, you know, everything is in place right now. There's some Foley effects we need, some ADR and shit like that. But you know, it's a weekend's worth of work. So we dump that shit in there, man. And this fucker's colored. And
you know what? You know what kind of blows my mind. And I know you and I were talking about it the day it was happening. I was really getting worried. Part of my job in the movie is like setting up locations and making sure we can shoot where we want to shoot and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting really antsy and really worried because I had reached out to several places for this final scene of the movie.
Yeah.
and no one was getting back to me. And I was getting really concerned that, like, for a couple reasons, that we weren't going to find it the place we wanted, or like a place that really fit what we were looking for. But I was really getting concerned that I was like, fuck, Jay thinks I'm fucking not doing anything. And I'm like getting really kind of like, shit, this sucks. And then, like, out of fucking nowhere, the people for where we ended up shooting the scene got back to me. And I was like, holy shit. And that was our number one choice.
It was the top.
That was what was incredible. It wasn't the fact, like, there were a couple places that I hadn't contacted yet that I thought were like shoo-ins. But I was like, nope, these places, one of these places is going to pan out. And the place you wanted to shoot this from day one,
yeah,
was the place that was like, hey, yeah, you can do that. That's great. And I was like, really? That's it? And they were like, yeah, these are the days that it's available. That's it? Yep. Okay.
Okay.
And you and I went up there a couple days before and we're like scoping it out. And I'm like, oh, fuck. When we walked up on it, at first we were like, oh,
yeah,
this is going to be hard. I don't know if we can do this. But then as we were fucking walking around and shit, we were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We can do this.
This can work.
I was worried about not having enough extras, but some extras came through and I thought it looked like just the right amount of people that would be hanging outside. Like, it was perfect, man. Yeah. Like, and I'm watching, I'm like, holy shit, that's literally exactly what we wanted.
Oh, yeah. When we were done that day, we wrapped everybody out and shit, and you were like, well, how's it feel to know that we shot exactly what we wanted to shoot? That doesn't happen very often.
No, because we make a lot of concessions. And yeah. Not bad concessions, no. But like, you kind of have to figure it out as you go. You know what I mean?
There's a problem. There's a catastrophic problem every day of shooting. There's always something.
There's always something.
You just have to overcome. That's the name of the game.
And fuck, man.
We got to, like,
it happened.
Send it off in the perfect way.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, I cut it together that next day and I was like, fuck, that's it. That's, you know, I felt so fucking good about it. Man. I'm like, there it is. That's how the movie ends. And, you know, put the fucking, drop that music in there. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is how this fucker ends. And it just felt like, holy shit, we did the whole thing, you know? And it's like a monumental, like, mm-hmm. Fuck, we did it again. You know, we've been like, we cheated our way through three movies. Like, we really did it.
People are going to figure this out eventually.
Eventually,
right?
They're going to be like, yeah, man, what the fuck are you guys? What do you guys think you're doing over there in Amsterdam, New York?
No, it's
making these little,
it's exciting
bullshit movies.
I think we're making waves, man.
Yeah.
Joke if you want. I'm just saying. I think we've been getting in with the right people. I think not to talk on ourselves a little bit, but I think we're making the right moves here. We're making good connections with people. I think we're keeping around the right people. It's going really well, and I'm really excited about the future.
It's nice.
Even beyond this movie is what I'm saying. I think beyond this movie.
I can't wait for you to read the thing I wrote. I can't wait for you to read it. I really want to. Yeah. I can't wait. So it's, dude, I was very excited. We had a really good week. So everything has been fucking, everything's been kind of looking up.
It's Middletown.
It is Middletown.
Middletownmovie.com.
I know. Middletownmovie.com. We got to get on that shit too. I got to get a trailer out. I've been kind of dragging ass on that. So I think in the next.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got enough to put a trailer out.
Sure. No. Yeah. We got everything. So
yeah.
I think it's time to start to cut a trailer together and, you know, maybe cut a couple teasers together and put them out there and just start to get a little bit of.
I know we don't charge for our premieres.
Right.
And I'm not saying we should, but I think a trailer wouldn't hurt the promotion of it.
Oh, totally.
Bit,
totally. Totally. I mean, the smart thing to do, and it's so dumb that we don't do this, especially given like my fucking work background, is collecting information from people and sending them links to where to buy this shit when it's, you know, when it's ready for that. You know, for that to happen.
Yeah, we should have an email list at the.
We should be taking people's email addresses and going, "Hey, fuckers, we got to do shit like that. It's important." I think, like, you know, I'm a big fan of making these movies for free, or as low cost as we can, because it's a quicker rise to the.
I mean, nothing's free.
No. This one was about $1,100. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, everybody donated their time and shit. I mean,
and that's the biggest expense that we somehow elude.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? But that's because we have other people who also... I mean, it's not like we're racking in money. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're not making anything off of it. But like, we find people that also want to just make something.
Yeah.
And I know there are plenty of actors out there and there are plenty of filmmakers out there who are like, don't do anything for free. And if you feel that way, then don't.
Yeah.
If you feel that way, then you shouldn't do anything for free. Like, if you feel that way, and I'm not saying it's the right or wrong mentality, I'm just saying, then that's how you want to do this. Then go ahead. If that's how you, but you can't shit on the people who are just going to make stuff regardless. I think part of the problem with that is, I know we didn't plan on going off on this tangent, but I feel like every three podcasts this, we have this conversation.
Yeah, we are due.
Like every third.
We're due.
I've always wondered if the people who insist on getting paid for everything they do are people who feel intimidated or they feel belittled by the art, because then they're upset that there are people doing it for free. Like, then they can be like, fuck, am I not really an artist because I insist on getting paid? And it gets, they get really defensive about it.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
No.
So, okay. So say I'm a filmmaker. Say, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, or not even a filmmaker. I'm a videographer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll make your independent film. I'll do your wedding even. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah.
I own a camera and some lenses.
Yep.
And
freelancer.
Yeah. I'm a freelance videographer. But I will only come out and do your project if I'm getting paid.
Right.
I'll only come out if you're paying me. And then I see another guy who has the exact same shit I have, just as good as me, but is doing that shit for free.
Oh, right. Right.
Like,
so he's devaluing the whole thing.
Yes.
By doing it, right?
Yeah. But like, does that make me feel? So say I see that, like on the outside, I'm going to say things like, dude, your time is worth so much more than that, and you're making it so I can't charge as much,
right?
Because you're out here doing things for free. But in the inside, am I thinking, fuck, am I a piece of shit? Like, am I not really an artist because I'm not doing the project for the sake of doing a project?
Yeah.
Because the reason I say that is, around here, not many people's full-time gig is performance.
Right.
So why is it not worth it doing it for you? You know what I mean? Like, why is it not worth doing for these people?
Yeah. I mean, along that line, my big question is always like, well, how much money do you need? And
like, don't get me wrong. There are people, there are like actors in New York and shit that are like, I can't afford to not take the paying gigs.
They're 100% living that life.
Totally different situation.
If you have a full-time job, this is what I mean. Like, the people we work with usually.
Right.
Full-time jobs.
Yes.
Supporting themselves and shit like that. We're asking for free time. We're donating our time. Everyone's donating time. If somebody...
We're never asking people to take time off of work.
Right? No. Everything never is always super scheduled, right? Now, if somebody says, I can't do this because I can't afford to do, I need the money. My question is always like, well, how much money ensures that you're going to be where you need to be when I need you to be there? Like, I'm not,
right.
Not just us, but no one here is going to give you a life-changing amount of money.
Uh-huh.
This is also more than likely going to be a one-off for you. You need,
right.
What's your number? Is it, do you want $10,000 to star
right.
in a movie, or to shoot a movie, or to do sound, like whatever your number is? Do you need 10 grand? Okay. Well, we'll get 10 grand for you. Number one, that's not enough money for you to live on. Number two, that means that I just bought all your fucking time. That right. means that you have zero excuses now.
You better never, you fucking never better show up late.
Never.
And you are late. Going to get shit.
Oh yeah,
and docked like pay.
Fired.
Like yeah.
Now you have skin in the game. You can never ask for a fucking day off or to change anything, because now you're bought and paid for. And who else is going to give you this money? Because you need four or five more of these to make it so you can live for the year. So basically, you just want money for the sake of saying, like, I was worth the money and I made the money. 10 grand's right. a lot of money. Nobody asked for 10 grand. But like, nobody if somebody wants the fucking SAG minimum or whatever, even though they're not SAG, you're like, well, that's not a life-changing amount of money. It's more of a token. And I can tell you that we appreciate you more than $125 a day.
Right. And
it's much more.
And I hope it doesn't come across that we don't see value in what people do.
Fuck them.
That's, I hope it doesn't come across that, because there are definitely like, projects out there, like, yeah, you should totally, there are definitely projects out there that are getting put on by, so this is a thing in theater a lot. So in theater, you sell tickets and you make money.
What's that called?
What do you mean?
When you're equity.
Yeah, when you're an equity actor.
Equity, equity player.
Yeah, and you should be getting paid.
That's cool, man.
Because you're in a situation where the theater is charging money to the patrons who come in to watch the play.
Yeah.
If they're making money, you should make some money.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Don't get that. It's fucking great. What we're doing is we're a bunch of guys that get together and said, hey, we want to make a movie. Do you want to help?
Yeah.
Do you want to be part of that?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's making any money.
Yeah, there's no money in this.
There's no money involved in this. But if you want to come out and help.
Make pretend with us?
That'd be cool. Don't be fucking offended because I've asked you to come act.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
I guess that's what it really boils down to, is don't shit on people who like working on a project for the sake of the project, for the sake of doing their craft. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If you told me that, like, hey, none of the people you want to be in this are going to be in it, like, okay, then we'll find other people. Like, we're not offended by the fact that they're not going to be in it. You know what I mean?
They all get very upset about it.
People get very upset about it.
Very upset.
And I don't understand. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it here. Like, you've chosen a path
right.
to do this.
Well, regardless, I don't give a shit where we are, man. We could be in L.A. Say you and I were just, we live in L.A.
Yeah.
And we just want to make a fucking movie. If it was the same situation where we're not making any money and we're not putting, we're the only money that's coming, that's exchanging any hands is us filling up the gas tank
right.
and buying some food for everybody. You know what I mean?
But there's opportunity there to do this. That's the difference. If there's a bunch of opportunity for you in L.A.
Right,
as an actor,
then.
Just as an actor, if there's opportunity. So say I want you to be in the movie in L.A., right? You could be spending the time that you're going to be spending on the movie that we're making out there trying to get paying gigs and make your living. Here, you don't really have that option. Here, it's not a career path.
Yeah,
not a career
totally,
path.
Totally get what you're saying.
It's a love of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where my thing is. Like, we should just all work together. We should all just make things together.
Right, and I totally get that. All I'm saying is don't shit on the people who do want to make that
project.
Copy
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Don't on the people who want to make that
that's
project.
That's what I'm saying, too. I agree. I think we're making... Yeah.
No, I know you and I are on the same page about this, because we fucking bitch about it all the time.
Constantly.
And so I guess this is just a long-winded way of saying we appreciate every single person who
Jesus.
Fucking came out to work on this movie.
So much.
Like we appreciate... all the time, all the effort, all of the sacrifice. I mean, like, it still cost you your time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To come out and to fucking give a shit. That's the biggest thing. Like, we've worked on projects before where people, they'll show up, but kind of reluctantly. And
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, well, we've definitely had people show up on set and be like, well, why'd you agree to do this, man? Like,
yeah. Yeah, you knew the
time commitment. You knew the like,
and we're super clear about that shit at the beginning.
Oh yeah, 100%.
At the beginning of every person that ever comes in any of these movies, it's always like, hey, look, this is no pay, but here's how it is. You know, we're fucking eternally grateful. You know, we're gonna feed you. We're gonna make every concession possible with schedule.
And we're not jerking you off, saying like, oh no, it's not paying. But
no, you're
gonna get exposure and IMDb. No. Like, those things. Like, we're not gonna jerk you around. We're just gonna tell you the truth. Like, it's not paid, but you know, we're easy to work with. We'll work with your schedule. If you really want to come out and, you know, we promise a good time and lunch, like,
come and do what you like to do.
Then come on out.
Here's an opportunity to do what you like to do.
Yeah.
If you want it.
If you want it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
And then.
And I cringe and worry every time we post anything on Facebook.
I know.
Anytime that we need background actors or like, hey, we're hosting auditions. I hate that. I'm like, oh, fuck, we're about to post this on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. And you get the no pay question mark or pay question mark. And you're like, dude, it's in the fucking post.
Yeah.
It's in the fucking post.
So just don't do it. Just don't even respond to the post.
Yeah.
You're clearly not going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't talk shit to us because we're not being assholes about
it. Go make your own thing. Yeah. Go make your own thing.
Go make a thing.
Or go to a city where you stand a chance at getting paid to do this. Mm-hmm. Get into central casting.
The opportunity's out there.
Join. It's out there. There's it's not just New York and LA anymore. There's fucking Georgia. There's Austin. There's Toronto. There's all of these film cities now. Mm-hmm. Go and do it. Vancouver. I want you to do it. Vancouver. I want you to fucking do this. We would love somebody local to fuck off and go and do something. That would be amazing. Don't sit around and be a shithead, you know, which, like you said, is a long-winded in a very, very negative way of saying that fucking people like Justin, who is so talented, Justin Wombat, the Wombat, is the guy who shot our movies, our DP. He is an unbelievably talented fucking cinematographer.
Mm-hmm. Always early.
Yes, always early.
Usually there before us.
The hardest working man in show business. The guy's always sweating. He's always hustling. He's always moving. He doesn't have a camera department to huck his lights around, to run his leads, to fucking change his cards, to pull his focus. He's doing everything. I'm saying, one man bands that shit, and everything looks beautiful. The movie looks fucking gorgeous. Like, it's a pretty movie in a pretty location, and it's 100% him, you know, because I'm a real fucking, like, I don't know, man, just fucking put him over there against the wall. He's like, no, don't be an idiot. You can't just put him against the wall, you know. Fucking, you know, do this, try this, you know. So he's and that guy fucking works full time, and he drives in,
yeah,
especially to the Pine Lake shit. It's like fucking,
and he works full time shooting fucking video. Yes. So it's like a chef spending all day working at a shitty restaurant, you know, to fucking cook food, to then come home and then cook a bunch of food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, for a bunch of people for free.
Like, for a bunch of people for free.
For free.
That's what he's doing. He's doing his full-time job for us for free.
Yeah, with like a sous-sens of fucking artistic integrity.
Right.
Like, I want to do this. I'd rather do it. Like, he's just a fucking solid. It's just solid. And it's such a commitment for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lives pretty far away, especially from that location. It's a fucking hour.
He's always there.
He's always there. Fucking great. It's just great. It's been great to have him as a fucking sounding board. It's great to have him. He knows what he's doing. It's great to have him. Scott Clemenson is a fucking maniac.
Hard on podcast zone, Scott Clemenson.
Yeah, he's just the best. I mean, he's the best to have on set. He's super pro. He's been on enough pro sets where he can kind of bust balls a little bit, but he's just the best guy to have on set.
Mm-hmm.
Everything always sounds amazing. It's just, sound is 80% of picture, and to have a guy who has that much knowledge and who you know, like, you can look at in a fucking pinch when there's planes flying overhead or you're shooting in a fucking moving car on a highway with the windows open, and he's like, don't worry about it, we got it, and you got it, and you know you got it, and you go home and you listen to it and you're like, yeah, we fucking got it. Mm-hmm. Of course we got it, because he knows what he's doing, you know. It's just it's fucking great. And again, not an easy commitment for him, because he's another guy who's employed professionally as a sound guy.
Yeah,
he's out there recording sound for big thing, like, yeah, fucking, you know, ESPN.
And he's been straightforward with us, you know what I mean? We worked with him on our last movie.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to get him.
Super lucky.
And it just kind of worked out on the last movie that our shooting schedule was so condensed compared to this one that we had him.
Yeah.
And then for this movie, we wanted him so much to the point that when it looked like we really weren't going to have him, we were willing to move things when we had to.
Yeah.
To get him. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about with the flexibility and shit. Like, he knew we couldn't pay him. We can't afford him, to be honest with you.
No, his day rate is incredible.
But he wants to help. And that's
yeah, he's like, what am I gonna do? I want to work more than not work. So, and I want to come and hang, and he wants to hang out, and it's great. He likes the vibe, he likes hanging out, man. And that's that shit. That's that Affleck shit where like, You want a team to go into battle with who is as passionate about it as everybody. Like, you want to be on the same page. You don't want somebody, just a jobber, who's just like, fucking really, I don't want to do it, you know?
Right.
Bitching about it and shit, like, how long no launch? This is fucking bullshit. We already did this. Like, you get somebody with fire and shit that shows up, right? And that's the fucking crew. Like, it was the tiniest crew. You know, when you, all the fucking sacrifices that you've made, we'll get to you. Cast, we're going to run down the fucking cast real quick. Susanna was an incredible find. I was so happy to have her. She was so good in this movie. There are so many moments, quiet moments in this movie where even on set, when you watch her perform, you don't know what she did until you see it on a screen. And she is someone who is a theater actor by trade, but who really understands the nuance of performance for screen so well. Mm-hmm. She understands the power in the fucking most subtlety. Micro of movements. And dude, there are times where I couldn't help but fucking email her or text her and be like, I am watching this scene right now for the 500th time. And I'm telling you, every single time I watch it, I get a goosebump, or I fucking get a laugh, or I get a whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so great to have her on set and to have her being a trained actor and kind of there.
And slumming it with us.
Slumming it with us. Yeah, that always made me feel bad. I remember having like a freak out, like day one, I was fucking running around with my fucking head on fire.
Day one's always a shit show.
It's a shit show.
Every movie we've done, day one's a shit show. I told you the first movie you and I made together, I wanted to leave day one.
Yeah.
We had actors arriving. We were two scenes behind, and I'm like, I don't know. What do I do? And I almost just left.
That would have been awesome. Just like a no-call, no-show. Where's Sean? Yeah. He's gone.
He's gone, man.
Fucking Jesse, dude. Jesse has been in the shit that I've been doing since 2004. Like, he's just Jesse has an innate knowledge of how to say the words that I write, and I never have to fucking correct that guy. Mm-hmm. The direction I have to give him is always super minimal. It's just more like nudging a fucking boat in the water, and you know, he takes it from there. He's just rock solid, man. He's always the guy I need him to be, and I fucking love that about him. Jeff is the same thing. Jeff is always super prepared. He's also the most affable fucking guy on set. He let us into his house. I'm helping him move into his house a couple of years ago. It'll be 2 years in October. Mm-hmm. And I looked around the house, and I go, hey, Jeff, you know that movie I'm working on with the lake house? Like, I'm writing that movie. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, can this be the lake house? And he's like, yeah, I guess. I don't see why not and shit. And so he just let us take over his house for whatever.
Took over 15
shooting days or however long, 14 days.
Weekends at a time sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, just there from the morning until late at night. And, you know, people just fucking, just all our shit spread over his yard and his living room.
For months on end, just there.
His fucking bedroom, just everybody's everywhere. Everybody's sweaty and tired and gross and eating and fucking, you know, and he's just
there, hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, everybody good? Yeah, everybody's good. Yeah, fucking, you know, Devin was fucking great. I mean, just to have her back and really, like, we had her in the last movie.
Well, yeah, we found I would say she was a diamond in the rough, 100%. Her and Davon in the last movie were both great.
Backstage.com, like these two kids I found on Backstage looking for a pair of teenagers, and we find these two kids, and it's like,
and they're both killer.
They're fucking killer. They're so good.
We didn't expect that.
Not at all.
So it was great to be able to give her that opportunity to really shine.
To have like a meaty role.
Yeah, and like she killed it.
Crushed it. You know, that first day that she came in and she had that really long monologue where she's screaming at Jeff, I remember kind of being like, oh boy, like the first take, we were kind of stumbly. We were going against the sun. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
And we reset for take two, and then it was like, fucking, oh my God. And it was quiet for a second. And I remember we had somebody on set who was helping out with hair and shit for Jeff. And she was just like, that's exactly how this scorned woman would react in this situation. Like, that's I've been that person, you know? And she's like, fuck yes. Like, she's killing it. Oh, there was so much of that. You know, I know I'm forgetting other people, but fucking everybody that let us shoot in their place, everybody that gave, you know, the fucking bar and the parking lots and the fucking, you know, like all of these places that just let us in and the apartments and just, you know.
Dude, it's amazing the things you can get by asking and not being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. We have nothing to offer you.
Every time I email or call or walk into a building to meet with someone about possibly shooting there, it amazes me every time they say yes.
Yeah, man, and that's all you, and that's because all the power of you being
you
like,
just have to not be an asshole to these people.
Yeah.
And you know, tell them how huge of an asset it's going to be. And you don't bullshit them. That's not bullshit. Every time you tell somebody, like, I don't, you know how many times I've said, this is exactly where we want to shoot this?
Yeah.
I think that... And that makes people proud of, like, oh shit, they chose, yeah. And it's always true. I've never bullshit that line. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've never come up to them and be like, hey, we'd really love to shoot here.
Yeah.
Like, and then in reality, I don't give a fuck. Like, no, yeah. Like every location that I've said that to is that's where we want to shoot.
It's exactly the place.
And I'd say almost every single time.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't even think of a time we didn't get the location we wanted.
Definitely not in this movie. We didn't eat it one time.
Like,
We got it. We shot every when you guys see this movie, everywhere that you see is like exactly where we wanted.
We shot at a local high school, not even a local, not local to this area.
Not local to this area. Like, we went to Middletown,
hours away.
We went to the town in which the movie was named for.
Yeah,
and said, "Hey, is it cool if you guys change the sign
on the front of your
school?
Yeah,
for us to basically drive by
and get one random shot
Get a random shot." But that, and they were like, "Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay." So I'm in contact with the fucking principal and shit, like.
Yeah.
We got that. We got state property. and they were like, yeah, you can use the outside of the building. That's fine, which is all we wanted.
Yeah.
We got an abandoned amusement park. We got
man.
And at the most we got insurance.
Yeah.
We got a parking lot for a business in downtown Schenectady.
Right.
Or not a business, but you know what I mean, like a
yeah, big building.
A big fucking building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got it all.
Yeah, we get it all.
I'm trying to think if we had any issues.
I don't think so.
We got you. The one thing you tasked me with that I thought for sure we weren't going to get, you were like, hey, we need to shoot this apartment thing. If we can get it in Troy, that's pretty centrally located. I'm like, fucking Troy? You want an apartment in Troy? I called the one person I knew that lives in Troy.
That's funny.
And we got the fucking apartment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying. Like, this shit has worked. And not only did I happen to know this one person, it was the perfect apartment to shoot in.
Yeah, it was perfect apartment. And that brings me, like, Jared Balog, right? This fucking guy who I met on Last Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about a pro?
Meet this guy in Last Frankenstein. We hire him on to do the effects in Last Frankenstein. Him and I had a pretty good relationship on that movie. We kind of stayed in touch. He's a good dude. Like, we have very similar senses of humor and shit. So,
yeah.
You know, it's cool. We check in on each other once in a while and shit. And finally, the opportunity came up where I was like, hey, man, this could be the time where we could use your help. And in the meantime, he had gone off and done the fucking makeup for the Punisher series.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I mean, like, hey, man, I know that you're doing Marvel shit now, but we could use you for this one day. And he's like, all right, yeah, just, you know. Just,
yeah.
We just, you know, come on, we'll be there. And he's there. And he fucking does the makeup for the movie.
Uh-huh.
And that's the beginning of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
I just really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just ask.
And John.
John.
That full
John,
day.
John, yeah, John Knifick. Right. Yeah. Oh, John Schnur.
Well, no, I meant Knifick. But Schnur was there too.
Yeah, exactly.
That was an interesting day. We had all these people coming in.
Yeah.
Everybody was there that day. Plus, we had two actors in that scene that we've been trying to work with for like three movies now, but we just didn't have the part for them. Like, these people that show up to auditions, they fucking kill it. We've seen them in other projects and they do a great job.
Yep.
But when you don't have a part for them, you just don't have a part for them. And here we are. We finally got them in the movie.
Finally got a part. Finally had a place for them.
You know, like,
they came in.
That day really sums up the movie, I think, because everybody was there.
Yeah.
Like, only one actor wasn't there. Devin wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I was only there because I'm the producer. I didn't act in that scene.
Right.
Like, so, like, that was an interesting fucking day. And we crushed it. We, in Troy, shortly after a snowstorm, if I remember correctly, because there's still snow everywhere, we found street parking in front of the apartment. And we were like, huh, this is going to work out.
There's a lot of little things that happen like that on all these movies where I go, huh. Like, this is too good. this is too good of an omen or a sign. Like, I don't believe in any of that shit, but I'm like, if we're already hitting here, it just seems like this is going to work.
Everything's
going to
go smoothly.
Everything is just going to make sense, you know? And it was like, dude, we had, like, you know, my buddy Andy and kind of making that connection. And for, like, the literal last shot of the movie showed up and was able to do something cool for us. Mm-hmm. You know, the fucking shit with Avery. You know, Avery, we met this kid through this other guy that I knew from Russ from the last movie.
Yeah.
Scott was busy on the last movie. He hires a friend of his out of his pocket to come and cover the first few days of our last movie to come and do sound, and then we kind of connect with him, and then fucking, you know, a year later he's contacting me to borrow a piece of equipment, and he sends this guy down here to get it from a fucking film set that's 2 hours away, and he shows up and gets the thing, and I kind of remember him, and then fast forward another 6 months or a year or whatever, and we're like, hey, that kid really seems to fucking want to work, can we get him to do the sound in the movie? And we go down and we meet him, and now he's on board, and all this shit starts happening, and then the wild card moment where he gets his moniker happens. We need this Ronin shot. You know, we were talking about it, and we're trying to figure out a way to get this moving steady cam shot of this walk and talk that Sean was acting in and Susanna's in, and like, fuck, you know, and the steady cam that we had lined up didn't work out because it was a fucking scheduling conflict or whatever. And then out of nowhere, this kid's like, oh, I got one in my trunk. And we're like, why do you have one in your trunk? Doesn't make any logical fucking sense, but it's like, it's those little winks, you know, and that might not end up amounting to a fucking thing. You know, this movie could be a total piece of shit when we're done with it and be like, oh, who cares? But the point is that all these things lined up to make exactly the movie that we wanted to make. And it's like, that's just, it's a ridiculous thing that happens. There's a ridiculous, like, wink that happens. Like, the fucking Sean Drive and Scotty Lane thing when we were on our way up.
Yeah.
You know?
We're on their way up there day one. Day one to start shooting this. And
into the mountains.
Into the mountains, yeah. And everybody goes a different way to get there just because of where this location is. And day one, we pass this street that's across of Sean Drive, my name's Sean, and Scotty Lane, and Scott, our sound guy. And, like, we've gotten pretty tight with Scott, you know, over the past couple of years. So it's like, oh, fuck, that's funny. We'll have to get a picture of that, you know, before we wrap. Well, it's almost impossible because Scott drives a completely different way to get home. Like, there's never a reason that...
Usually wrapped up way before us.
He's usually gone an hour before us, you know what I mean? So, like, we're like, fuck. And we're driving up there last day, and we're like, oh, last day. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah. And then for some random reason, he's like, well, I'm going to follow you guys back into town.
Yeah.
I can't even remember why, but like, I think he needed a gas station. Like, oh, well, there's one as we go back. He's like, oh, so I'll follow you guys because he doesn't know the area too well. And so, like, we're driving down. We're like, oh, shit, we need to stop. And he's like, why are you guys pulling over? Because he's following us. Yeah. And we're like, we had to get this picture. So, yeah, you posted that shit on Instagram. That was great.
Yeah. It's these little winks like that.
All these little things like, oh, shit. We talked about taking that picture day one a year ago almost.
I mean, seeing the fucking sign and going, because we didn't have Scott at that point. When we started, we didn't have Scott. It was Avery and us.
Right. And there's also an Avery Drive like two blocks up.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
And we were not that we were very happy with Avery. I mean, Avery did a fucking killer job, man. And all the shit that he did it sounds amazing.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, fuck, we really wish we could have had another hand on deck because Avery came on.
Well, originally Avery was supposed to be just a PA. He was, and I told him, I was like, there may be an occasion where Scott gets a gig. You might need to hold the boom.
Yeah.
But
and then Scott,
we don't think it'll happen a lot. And then Scott like got all these gigs right in a row.
I think
we
needed, can do it. Yeah.
We needed Avery for like a month. But that was that shit like with Justin hurting his back.
Justin broke his fucking back.
Justin broke his back, not on set or anything, but Justin hurt himself bad, put us behind about 3 weeks, three, 4 weeks. Which is fine. You know what I mean? Like, God bless the guy.
Fought like a maniac to come back.
But if he hadn't done that, if that hadn't happened to him, we wouldn't have gotten Scott back.
Yeah, his first day back was Scott's first day.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because we had lost Scott for like 2 weeks. We were 2 weeks in, I think, when Justin got hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, maybe.
And, but Scott's schedule cleared. Yeah. We should have been done with all the lakes. Well, not all the lakes, but you know what I mean? Like with a lot of the main shit.
Oh, yeah.
In that time, we would have been done.
We would have been done.
But we couldn't, which was fine. But I would rather draw this shit out over several months with Scott.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because just because he's our guy, nothing against Avery, like you said, but like Scott's our guy.
Yeah.
So we wanted him available. You know what I mean? And he became available.
Crazy.
And if Justin's back hadn't broken in half. I mean, clearly you don't want that to happen to Justin, but Jesus, silver lining, no. We made that shit work. And
it was just another way. All these, I always say, like, these little, like, miraculous dominoes need to fall in order. It's like one of those Rube Goldberg machines, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end, it just, like, it happens. Like, the water goes into the cup. At the end, you end
like,
up...
Oh, shit. It's like Mousetrap.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like Mousetrap. And that's why, even if...
The hardest thing was getting that guy on the diving board to flip over into the fucking... But when it happened, you were like, oh, shit, holy, it's happening. Shit. It's happening.
Yeah. You're gathering your family and shit from other rooms. Get in here. It's happening. That's why, like, even the projects that I have not been incredibly happy with, it's still at the end. Like, I've done a lot of this shit throughout my life, especially in the last 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. And even those movies that the early ones where it was, they objectively weren't good for one reason or another. Still, the fact that at the end of the day, there's a moment where there's a credit roll, you're like, fuck, it took so much to get to that role that it's just, it's inconceivable for someone who is like on the outside to think about. Because you just watch a movie and you're like, oh, you know. But then you come to a fucking set, like the novice actors that we have on set, and they're like, well, we already shoot this? I'm like, well, right, but you know, there's fucking six or eight takes of the master, and then we're going to punch it on coverage. And we're going to, like, you know, and they go, wow, this must take a long time.
It's so funny when, like, we're not pros. We know what it goes. You know, we know what goes into a pro shoot. You know what I mean? I think that's what it is. We're. I don't want to talk us up too much, but like we know what goes into making a really good movie.
Yeah, sure.
That's fair to say, right?
Yeah. Whether we can pull it off,
we just might not always have the means to do it.
To pull it off, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think when people talk to us, they don't always expect a lot. If they're new to acting and stuff, and then they'll come to our set and be like, "Oh shit, this is a whole thing.
Yeah,
this is like a whole thing happening here."
Yeah, that's
and that's always a nice moment, almost. You know what I mean? Like, because you know you're experiencing their kind of first time on a movie set. We're like a gateway film production crew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not Lionsgate, but
A24.
Yeah,
I always laugh at that shit too. They're like, oh, I never been. Like Andy said it the other day, he's like, I never been. I go, hey man, thanks for sticking around. I realize that, you know, you got your shot off at first, and he hung out for a couple hours. It's fucking balls hot and stuff. And he's like, no. He's like, I really like it. Never been on a real movie set before. I'm like, son, this is not a real movie set.
You're gonna learn though.
You're gonna learn today. You're not there yet. You know, this is Bush League JV shit.
Right. But, well, that's the thing though. We'll get Scott on set though, and he'll be laughing at the shit we're doing because he'll be like,
where's your Terra deck? What's why don't you guys just do things this way? You're like, Scott, now it's like shorthand. You're like, Scott, shut up.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Scott. Why don't you guys do this? Why don't you where's your $30,000 piece of grip equipment? And you just, you know.
I've been on set for a half an hour and I have not seen Craft Services.
right.
Like, fucking Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, he's joking. He's,
of course.
Yeah. No, he's fine.
He's half joking.
But yeah, it took me a fucking couple weeks the first time we worked with him for me to be like, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, it's just him. Yeah,
he's the greatest sarcastic guy who slums it with us like we're like nickel hookers and shit.
Right.
We're he's like, you know, pretty woman.
We do those things those other girls don't do, though.
Yeah. You know that thing that guys like? We do it good.
Yeah, we're really good at it.
Yeah. We're very, 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 very lucky to...
It's insanely lucky.
Yeah.
And then the only reason we got Justin is because I had a random conversation with a dude I ran into at work. That's the only reason about Justin.
Stupid. It's just
this guy I met, he was like, oh, what do you do? Like, we're just bullshitting. And he's just like, oh, what kind of projects you work on? We got talking about, you know, film and stuff. He's like, well, what projects? I'm like, well, we have this one coming up. We're looking for a DP, though. And he's like, call this guy. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll call your guy. Fucking A, glad I did. Like, it worked out. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's so fucking crazy. It's always crazy. And it always feels, at the end of it always feels like Jesse was having a tough time with it the other day when we were wrapping up Pine Lake because, you know, it's over. He's going to go and, you know, we're going to shoot that last day of reshoots with him, that last half day or whatever. But there wasn't a lot of celebration for him because it's over. And I totally get that. You know, I'm not there yet. Like, it takes me, like, I am still.
There's a lot to do.
Dude, I'm still not there with the other one. I still feel like I still haven't processed that movie being over. You know, there's still times where I still feel the weight of that movie on me. And you just go like, oh, no, it doesn't matter. It's all fucking.
Yeah.
It's over. It's locked. It's a file somewhere. It lives somewhere. You know, we celebrated that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jesse, like, Jesse's got like 5 more hours of work left. Yeah. You know, and then that's it. And he put all this time into this movie, mm-hmm. like everybody else did. And he just, all of a sudden, it's just done.
In a moment, it's over.
In a moment, you yell.
And you don't even know it's your last time because you might say, all right, we're going to do one more time.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't drink it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I wish we had the opportunity. I wish that we had the opportunity and the luxury of time
mm-hmm.
to be like, everyone gets a last take, and then you're like, hey man, listen, we got it, but this is your last take. Like, this is your last take of the movie. So, you know,
right. Unfortunately, we don't have the time ever.
We
to
don't
do
ever
that.
Have the time.
I was like, I remember saying to you when we were shooting the last scene in that parking lot, I was like, Jay, we're losing light. We gotta,
yeah.
I was like, we gotta move. Like, yeah. Everything looks great and we have some time, but we don't have all the time. We're gonna,
yeah. So you never get that moment. Like when they brought Mariano off the mound the last time and
right.
Jeter and Pettit come out, you know, and it was like a thing. I would love to have that moment for everybody because y'all fucking worked really hard. You put in so much time to learn mm-hmm. all these fucking stupid words and to show up and be on time and keep your shit together and not fucking, you know, always do the right thing and be here and give it 110%. And
right.
I can never give you that moment of like curtain call, you know, of like, hey, this is it for you. So enjoy this because this is it for that movie.
Here's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
We will premiere this movie though.
Yeah.
And that will happen because I hate to say it. And I think this is also part of why passion projects get such a bad name. You never put passion project in your movie description.
Facebook post.
Yeah, in your Facebook post because people are going to throw a fit. But that's what it is. Mm-hmm. most films, they might even be short films, don't get finished.
Yeah.
And you almost can't get mad at those people because a lot of fucking work goes into finishing it.
It's fucking impossible.
So that's one thing. And that's one thing we always promise at the beginning is like, this will get finished.
Yeah, we're going to finish the movie.
If this thing starts, it's going to finish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's where you know you got some local pros because as soon as, if you say that to somebody and they go, oh, okay. And then like their interest is peaked, then you're like,
right.
You've been burned and you know what I'm saying. But if you get some novice actor, they're like, oh yeah, well,
why wouldn't it be?
Of course it would get finished.
Yeah. No, there are so many local actors that are skittish.
Yeah.
And that would also explain why they insist on getting paid. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people out there like, listen, I've just been burned too many times.
They need something.
I at least want a check from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I get that. But we can always promise people our shit's going to get finished.
Yes.
I mean, we're 2 for 2.
3 for 3.
Well, we're going to be. Yeah,
this will be 3 for 3.
This will be 3 for 3. I mean, technically it's not done yet. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I mean, we could release it tomorrow and it'd still look better than other movies I've seen premieres for around here.
Oh,
so
shots fired.
No, it's the truth.
Jesus. I'm a little more humble than that, but okay.
It's true though. I know, you know, it's true. Just cause you don't want to say it, it's fine. I'll take the heat. But yeah, that's unfortunately the fact of the matter is that things don't always actually happen.
I always feel really bad for those people because I love performers and I love fucking craftsmen and technicians and shit and people who have chosen this life and still stay here and kind of work here in this environment and shit. Uh-huh. And like I love everybody. I love these fucking strange people who are in our tribe and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel terrible for those people who don't get the finish line, who put in the work, and then it's just this nebulous idea that, oh, I worked on 11 movies in the last 2 years and there's like a trailer for one of them or whatever. And at minimum,
are you talking about the actors?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay,
at minimum, I can say like, hey, look, good, bad, indifferent, we're going to finish the movie. So at the end of this, you're going to have something,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would feel so, the guilt would be endless for me not to finish the fucking movie. Like, I will finish this in spite of myself, and I can promise you that. And no one's going to give a fuck on the level that like I will, I don't worry. When you're home sleeping, I am fucking awake and weeping in front of a keyboard about this. And I just try to, that's the thing I want to get across. And I hope that that comes across to other people too. Like you put in a tremendous amount of care on the pre-production and location stuff and locking things into place and dealing with everybody's crazy hectic lives and getting this whole fucking thing to work in one cohesive unit so that we can actually do this stuff. And then when it's all over and everybody goes home, I am up.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise that I will cut this movie.
Right.
I promise. Uh-huh. You know, like we have had a cut of this movie since...
Well, there's been shit cut since day one.
Since day one. This movie has been built as we've gone.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a...
It's not like you're sitting here on a pile of footage being like, well, now that I have all the shots, I can get started.
Yeah, no.
That would be insane. We'd be a year out.
No, and we're just dropping in pickup shots. And I'm dropping them in the time like, hey, this movie is cut. And look, I just dropped this in and here it's colored and it's cut and it's all done. It's over. Mm-hmm. It's done. We're good. You know, and you just move on. I don't know. I feel bad for those people, but I'm appreciative, and I hope if anybody stayed on for this whole fucking diatribe about this fucking movie, I can only hope that maybe you're a local, maybe you're just a supporter of independent mm-hmm. film, maybe you're a filmmaker or a technician or somebody who wants to do some shit yourself. Do that shit yourself if you're around here. We're going to need help again pretty soon, so maybe, you know, I mean, you could
keep an eye out,
play with us because we'll promise to get it made and mm-hmm. you'll be able to show your friends.
There's some uphill battles in the next one. I haven't read shit yet, but what I do know, Sean. I'm freaked out about already. Sean. But I know we're going to do it. That's the thing.
Well, that's it. You just build. So now I'm like, uh-huh. All right, well, we're building.
Yep.
So now we don't have to worry about this, and this. Now,
let's add a new thing.
So now we can add new things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, every movie is like a calling card. So we're like, hey, look, we're not... You know, the first movie was tough because nobody knew who the fuck we were. And then and it's like, we need all these resources and you don't know who we are, but we promise it's not going to be mm-hmm. bad. And we're not going to put it in anybody's, you know, butt against their will. It's totally going to be fine. And people were miraculously good with us working. Mm-hmm. The second movie, we could be like, hey, look, we already did something.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. It's going to be good. I'm very happy. Thank you for everything.
Happy and excited.
Happy and excited.
Thank you for everything you do as well.
Fuck you.
No, you're a good director.
Fuck you.
All right. Fuck me.
Where can they find it?
iTunes, Stitcher, Last FM.
Last FM, the bastion of podcasting.
Yep, it's out there.
Google Play.
We are on, actually, I don't think we're on Google Play.
Come on, step it up, Barnes.
But we can also be found on our own website, hardonpodcast.com. If you go to hardonpodcast.com/episodes.
Yeah.
Every single one's on there.
It's like the cathedral of filth.
Yes.
It's the cradle of filth.
The Kennedy Library of
yes.
of Hard on Podcast. It is it's I got nothing. We are
this is like 190, isn't
this
it?
This is 190.
Shit.
This is 190.
We're closing in.
Gosh,
200.
Oh yeah, we're talking about doing maybe recording 200 at the movie. That just sounds like a lot of work.
It does. I just want to get drunk and have fun.
We can do it beforehand.
Okay.
So we're like...
Like way before.
While we're getting drunk. You can hear us get drunk.
Oh, Jesus.
Over the course of the
we
recording.
We should do that.
And we can have people pop in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be cool.
It could be. We'll see what happens.
HardOnPodcast.com/episodes. Like I said. I said that already.
You did.
Facebook.com/HardOnPodcast. And
share this bitch.
That's the biggest thing. Just share it.
We should use some reviews.
An episode. Sharing is the big one right now.
Sharing is caring.
We're also on the fuck's that called? The new one,
Luminary.
We're on Luminary.
Don't listen to that shit.
Don't listen to us on there. They just pull our feed from somewhere. I gotta figure out a way to get them to say fuck.
There's like
fuck
a
off.
There's a form letter or something.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have Luminary and you got lured into their 3-month free horseshit trial, stop that shit. You're hurting the entire thing. You're killing,
damaging podcasting.
Yeah. It's you. You're fucking it up for all of us. For Sean and I.
How do you sleep at night?
You are taking money out of Finn's mouth. Finn's cheesesteak house is in fucking shambles. The bills, it's cash in hand now. When they're delivering the shredded meat, mm-hmm. Finn has to pay them in cash. There's no more credit at Finn's house of cheesesteaks.
Zero.
It's got nothing.
You know when they say your money's no good here?
Yeah.
Because they mean they don't want you to... Like, oh, your money's no good here. They say that to him because it literally is no good.
Finn's money
they don't
is
want it. Like, no, your money literally is no good here. Yeah. We don't want it.
Yeah.
But, we're not giving you any product.
We can't get burned again, but Finn.
Please.
Yeah.
We don't want your money.
He doesn't. Yeah. And that's what you're doing by supporting Luminary and not sharing.
Yeah.
Finn's got fucking illegitimate children all over the country.
Countless.
Yeah.
Countless puppies.
And they're going to start asking for support at some point.
At some point. And I don't have that.
I don't have,
I don't have the money.
We don't have any sponsors for the podcast.
No. Finn's a cheesesteak mogul with no cheese.
A broke-ass
You know
cheese.
What I'm saying?
Sorry. A broke-ass cheesesteak mogul.
Cheesesteak mogul with no cheese.
He's like
no
house
cheddar.
Poor.
Oh! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we can't beat that.
All right.
Sean, was it good for you?
We'll see in September.